That is a song. This is week two of our summer series, and I think I'll stand up tonight. We are calling it Human Proverbs, and we're just talking about certain sayings or slogans that are part of our culture, kind of like the, you know, five or six that Tim said, things like that. They're words of wisdom, and some of them have nothing to do with the Bible, like most of his. Some of them are kind of in the Bible, and some of them come right out of the Bible, like tonight's. Tonight's handwriting on the wall, it comes right out of the Bible. In fact, we wouldn't have this saying if it were not for the story in Daniel 5. It's the only reason anybody says handwriting on the wall. If that story didn't happen, if Daniel 5 was not in the Bible, we wouldn't say handwriting on the wall. It's really, really right out of the Bible. In fact, if you were to do a Google search about handwriting on the wall, they would you would start getting information about what that means and what do people mean when they say that. But lots of those websites would say this comes right from Daniel 5. So it's widely known that this comes right out of the Bible. Everyone agrees, right out of the book of Daniel. So what I'd like to do is just talk a little bit about the story and then maybe what it means and then some takeaways. Daniel was a prophet. He lived a few hundred years before Jesus did. He has lots of great stories in his life, pretty famous stories. You could divide the book of Daniel up into two pretty separate sections. The first part are all the famous stories that you and I probably know. The most famous is, I would say, Daniel in the lion's den. That's a famous one. That's about a time that Daniel prayed at a certain time every day, and some people were against Daniel, and they tricked the king into signing something that if you prayed, you're going to get thrown in the lion's den, and that's what happened. And God delivered Daniel. So you have that story. You have that story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and if you have VeggieTales, that's Rack, Shack, and Benny. Not many of you have VeggieTales anymore. And so they were kind of the same deal. They wouldn't bow down before this false god, and so they were thrown into a fiery furnace. That one's in there. Then you have the one where the same three, Rack, Shack, and Benny, would not eat the fancy food. They wanted their own food. I think this was in chapter 1. And they ended up being stronger than the people who ate all the fancy, extravagant food. So those are some famous stories. And then we have this one in Daniel 5. And in Daniel 5, the main character, now King Nebuchadnezzar had sort of passed off of the scene by Daniel 5, but his son Belshazzar was still very much in charge. King Belshazzar was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, and he had this big party. And there's nothing wrong with a big party. I like to have people over and make a meal, you know, and I've been kind of cooking chickens a certain way on the grill and kind of lay them out and do them a certain way, and I'm kind of proud of how they taste, and I have a big party. It's nothing wrong with that. But Belshazzar started to cross some really dangerous lines, right? The first thing he did was he went and got some of his father's collection from when Babylon invaded Jerusalem. And in that collection were these holy vessels, holy cups, and holy vessels that came from the temple of Jerusalem. And they started filling them up with their wines and liquor and passing them around, right? And it says that Belshazzar the king started passing those holy vessels around to his princes and his wives and all of his girlfriends. And I can just close my eyes and envision how this went down, right? He's really showing off. He's really acting like he is just the king of everything. He doesn't answer to anybody, and it is just a wild scene. And he starts crossing some lines. And not only that, not only is he passing around all these things from the holy vessels, it says they start praising the gods of wood and stone and gold and silver. They start giving credit and glory to those gods. Whoa, that's some dangerous. You know, I will say that God is merciful. He is long-suffering. He takes a lot. But boy, there's a point where you can cross some lines, and that is what is happening here in Daniel 5. Just to be clear, they are not honoring the one true God like Daniel did, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, or we do. We honor and celebrate the one true God here at the Esquire. That's not who they were honoring. They were honoring man-made gods, or gods that represented things like gold and silver and brass and wood and stone. Those gods, and it just got out of hand. So that is when something happened right in the middle of this party that very hour. Here's Daniel 5, verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. It appeared, it was very visible, a man's hand up on the wall writing something. It must have been terrifying to see that. Here we are honoring the true God. We would be a little frightened if he wrote something on the wall. Amen? It'd be a little different. It would be odd. But could you imagine having that big party with all their music and laughing and dancing and drinking? And there it is. Now, I know it was terrifying because of this next verse, verse 6. Then the king's countenance was changed. I mean, before he was living it up, but now it's changed. And his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against the other. I don't know why that's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, right? The way that's in the old King's English, that his knees smote one against the other. He was that frightened. Oh, his knees were knocking. Now, here was a king that began the night with so much confidence and swag and pride and just celebrating his authority. He got out the holy vessels that his father took from Jerusalem, filled them up, gave them to all of his princes, wives, and girlfriends, and they lived it up, started praising all the other gods. He started out the night with a lot of confidence, but when he saw that hand writing on the wall, his knees knocked together. He couldn't stop him. He was a terrified mess. That's where that phrase started, handwriting on the wall. That's what it is. It came right from Daniel 5. You usually hear that phrase if it's in front of something that's kind of rough. It's giving. When people say stuff like, that's the handwriting on the wall, what they really mean is, it's a sign of something that's kind of rough that's going to happen. That's how it's used in our culture. when you see clear signs or warnings of something kind of hard coming at you, that's when you used that phrase. That happened. What the hand wrote is some judgments, and they are in the Hebrew language, words of judgment. And then that very night, that kingdom was invaded and taken over by another country. So what the hand wrote turned out to be true right that night. So it's just kind of, if when people say, well, that's just the handwriting on the wall, it meant here's a sign of something kind of bad that's going to happen. So I believe that story really happened. I believe it's true. I believe they were really drinking out of the real holy vessels. And I believe there was a real hand that appeared on a real wall and wrote words. I believe that story word for word with my heart. It happened to a group that was living right in the moment. They were doing whatever they could right then to have the best experience they could have right then. They lived in the moment. They were not giving thought to the future or what's ahead, making wise decisions about what's next. They were kind of grabbing the gusto, so to speak. You remember that saying, if it feels good, do it, that was, you know, has been here for a few decades. That's what they were doing. They were living right in the moment. So what I want to talk about tonight is the importance of thinking ahead for your future. And I don't even mean just your eternal future, which is important, but I mean even just the future of your life and how the decisions we make now are really important later. So what I'm going to do is just talk for a few minutes about that takeaway. Now, there are some great takeaways in the book of Daniel and all those stories. We learn from Daniel that God's in control. He is in control. We learn the takeaway that God's always with me. When those three Hebrew men stepped in that furnace, they said, well, I see someone else in there. And it just shows that God, no matter what we go through, God's always with us. It also means that God means what he says. So there are three or four great takeaways in the book of Daniel. Another one is that God is able. If you do a search on that word, able, God's ability, that shows up a lot in the book of Daniel. I've got popcorn in my throat. I think I've got it out. So when Daniel, for example, was thrown in the lion's den, the king went down and said, oh, Daniel, is God able to save you? And Daniel said, oh, king, live forever. So that's that word, able. God is able to deliver you. We sing a hymn about that. But the takeaway I want to talk about tonight deals with how our decisions now really matter later. Sometimes our human nature knows that the payoff isn't immediate, and we get caught up into things. It's important to take responsibility for our own actions, not to blame other people. And when I do that, God can work on my heart in a good way. When something goes wrong, sometimes I have a tendency to blame other people and not take the blame. But it's important for me to take responsibility for my own actions so God can teach me and mold me, even if it's not a good moment. It could be a teachable moment. When the reward for doing something now that's hard is way out there, we as humans have a tendency to not want to do that. We have to fight the tendency of doing what feels good now, and instead of doing the right thing that may be hard, that pays off later. Let me show you this verse in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Sometimes you can do something that feels good and may not be right, but you don't get the sentence for that. You don't get the judgment for that. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. I have a tendency to want to do what feels good now instead of doing the right thing that has a big payoff later. Here's a takeaway I want you to see is what I do now matters later. It could be something that I shouldn't do or something that I should do. But whatever I do now matters later. Decisions and actions and conversations that I do now may not have a payoff right now, but they matter later. And it's important to think about my future. Most of the time, when it comes to really important, eternal, spiritual issues, sometimes those rewards or even judgments don't happen right away. Sometimes they do. Most of the time, they don't. Most of the time, they're down the road. We wait for them. And our human nature knows this. So I want you to be cautioned about doing things that feel good now that may not be wise decisions, because what you do now matters later. It really does. There are times in my life that I've done this. I've had wrong things placed before me. I knew it was wrong. It felt good, and I did it. I went for the gusto, and I regretted it. I chose poorly. I cashed in the moment for something that may have been temporarily fulfilling, but it was a mistake because I learned to regret decisions like that for something that didn't last. You know, that's a trick from the enemy. The enemy wants us to get something little now because we think it'll be fun and it'll last for a short time, and many times you'll miss out on something great later that God has for you. One time I watched a story on the history of the Eagles, not the Flying Eagles, the band, the Eagles. You know, Desperado, remember that? Remember that song? How many want me to keep singing? Not many hands went up there. There were a couple of things that really interested me in that documentary series. One is how great they sounded when they sang together. Now, you had a bunch of guys in the Eagles with big old egos. That's what you should call them, not the Eagles, the egos. Because they broke up, they couldn't get along, they were all the had talent, you know, but they didn't stay together very long. But when they sang together, especially without background music, oh, it was just magic. Some of those harmonies that they cranked out is just, it's just amazing. They were very gifted in their singing. They sing a song once called The Long Run. Anybody remember that song, The Long Run? You're not going to admit it. You're in church, but I'll tell you, I admit it. I know the song, The Long Run. It's about a guy, and he wants this girl to like him as a girlfriend. And he's trying to think through the trade-off between the short run and the long run. And he comes to the conclusion about short-term pleasures and how they're bad for you in the long run. And decision, he admits in this song that decisions that he made, all the stuff that probably Belshazzar was caught up in, this guy sang about. And he said, you know, I did this, I did this, I did this, and I regret it. And now I don't think this girl is going to like me, and that's what I really want, and I want her to like me. And he regretted some of those short-term decisions. That's what that song's about. That's pretty good. Now, here's a guy who is willing to give up a bad lifestyle or regrets a bad lifestyle because he really wants to have this serious, meaningful relationship. Hey, that's good advice for us, right? Don't get caught up in those things that are distracting from our relationship, because we want to have a serious relationship with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Bible. Don't cash in that great set of relationships that will pay off for eternity for things that just feel good or seem good or taste good or whatever good in the short run. What we do now matters later. That's my takeaway from the handwriting on the wall. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you came and died for our sins so that we can be in heaven forever with you. We love you. Thank you for stories in the Bible that you preserved that show us good and bad and ugly things about ourselves, but Lord, show us all the beautiful and good and holy things about you. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're done tonight. We'll see you next week at the Esquire.